Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this fourth day of March 2024. Before I introduce my guest and our topic for the day, I want to remind you that I will be the MC of the Grace Christian Academy of Long Island's fundraising gala once again. And that's going to be held Friday of next week, Friday, March 15th at 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island. And if that name sounds familiar to many of our listeners of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, that may be because that's where, the Coral House that is, that's where I first launched back in 1996 the decade-long series known as The Great Debates between Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Roman Catholic apologists. We had our first several debates there at the Coral House, and then when we outgrew it, we moved over to the Huntington Townhouse. The Huntington Townhouse no longer exists. I don't know if we had anything to do with it. But the Coral House Catering Hall, it's going to be definitely very sentimental for me because of my emceeing all of those debates that began there. And it's going to be quite an interesting experience. The keynote speaker at this fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy is my friend Dr. Ernie Zara. Many of you may have heard Dr. Zara on my program. He is a noted author and educator who is one of America's most passionate and knowledgeable voices seeking to bring an end to the morally corrupt and bankrupt agenda of the woke movement, which is brainwashing the children of our nation with their anti-Christian worldview. So if you'd like to register for this fundraising gala on Friday, March 15th at 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island, go to gcali.com. That stands for Grace Christian Academy, Long Island.com, gcali.com/gala, G-A-L-A. And you could register there. And I really hope to see many of you there, especially those who live on Long Island. There are so many of you that I haven't seen in years, and I would love to see you there. And hopefully I'll remember to repeat that towards the end of the program. But today's guest is an old friend of mine going back to the late 1980s and early 1990s, when my dear friend, the late Don Blind, pastor of First Baptist Church of Lindenhurst, Long Island, used to bring me out from Long Island to Pennsylvania, starting in Lewisburg and then moving over to New Ringgold to the annual John Bunyan Conference. And that is where I met my guest today, who is one of the speakers at these conferences that I used to love to attend with my dear friend Don Blind, who is actually my late wife's pastor, one of her pastors before we got married. And I am so glad that my guest today, Pastor Gary George, and I have maintained a friendship all these years. Pastor Gary George is pastor of Sovereign Grace Chapel of Newbridge, Massachusetts. He's a conference speaker. And today we're going to be addressing the very fascinating subject of near-death experiences examined in the light of Holy Scripture. We'll also be announcing the 2024 John Bunyan Conference, now being held in Franklin, Tennessee, and their next conference is next month. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Zion Radio, Pastor Gary George.
Good to be with you again, Chris. It's always an honor to be on Iron Sharpens Zion.
Well, tell our listeners about Sovereign Grace Chapel of Southbridge, Massachusetts.
Well, we came into existence about 1990-91. It was first named Grace Reformed Baptist Church. It was established within a year after they began to meet and form. And we've been in existence ever since, in about the year 2000, because on the streets, most people don't know what Reformed means. They always think about Reformed children, delinquents, and teens, and so on. And the word Baptist has such a wide range these days, especially in our liberal New England area of Massachusetts. We have all kinds of Baptists, the fundamentalists on one end, and then we've got the rabid liberals on the other end. So we decided to drop the two and just simply call us more generically Sovereign Grace Chapel. And we've been with that name now for 24 years. But we are a Doctrines of Grace Church, as all your guests, I'm sure, are. And we seek to proclaim the gospel indoors, outdoors, in any way we can to spread the good news.
Well, just as a matter of a little correction, not all of my guests are Sovereign Grace believing. The majority certainly are. But occasionally you'll have someone outside of our circles of theology that has written something so important for the whole body of Christ on a subject on a subject outside of the Calvinist-Arminian debate that I'll have that person on. So just wanted to give a little correction there, but you are right in assuming that at least the vast majority of my guests are Sovereign Grace believers or Reformed, however you want to put it. And by the way, folks, if any of you live in or near Southbridge, Massachusetts, or you're traveling through there, or you have family, friends, and loved ones that live in or near there, you may visit their website, sovereigngracema.org. sovereigngracema.org for more details. Now tell us about the John Bunyan Conference coming up next month, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you are actually speaking on the very subject that we are tackling today, near-death experiences.
Correct. So this is like about maybe, I'm estimating this might be about our 10th consecutive conference that was first named Providence Theological Seminary, was the one that sponsored the conference at the beginning of this 10 years ago. And then we graduated, I guess you could say, to a different name because of the difficulties of trying to get credentialed as a seminary. We had to drop the word seminary and call it Providence Theological Institute. So better known as PTI simply. So PTI has been sponsoring conferences, first started in Texas, then moved to Colorado. And in the last 5-6 years or so, it's been in Franklin, Tennessee. And I being one of the board members, helped line up the conference. And this year we got a host of speakers and they've gone down to the bottom of the ladder and asking me to be one of them as well. So our topic is going to be the hope of the gospel with some emphasis on new covenant theology, as well just general doctrines of the faith and building up the body of Christ. And we have some interesting speakers and it's usually a great conference and it's free, which I hope your listeners listen to that. It's free. That's unusual. We're just generous and we want to bless as many people as we can. It's worth coming to. So we retitled the John Bunyan Conference since we're trying to carry on in some ways the spirit of our departed dear brother John Riesinger, who pretty much started the John Bunyan Conference back in the late 70s. And he died maybe about what you say, 4 or 5 years ago, but the Bunyan Conference hasn't really, it pretty much phased out in around the year 2013 or so. And so a couple of years ago, some of the folks who were connected with the John Bunyan Conferences back then, either as speakers or board members, decided that we should retitle it John Bunyan Conference.
And by the way, I think that you should probably do some damage control here so that folks do not get the wrong impression that Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology is less than a quality learning institution, because you mentioned before that they could not get licensed as a seminary. So you might want to explain that so people don't just write off.
Right. It wasn't like we were applying to some kind of theological board to evaluate our theological perspectives. It was before really my personal time with the Providence Theological Institute had to do with just the technicalities that are involved. And anybody that's involved in the academics knows how difficult it is to get the credential and authorization to be certified as a bona fide seminary from the state, because of certain requirements that were just unreachable, and we just didn't have the resources at the time. But that was the primary reason.
And just to let you know, folks, this is a fairly long roster of speakers that they have at the upcoming John Bunyan Conference. Many of you will recognize the name Dr. Ted Baer, who is a well-known Christian movie and television critic. I've had him on the program years ago on the old Iron Sharpens Iron program that broadcasted out of WNYG Radio on Long Island in Babylon, Long Island. He will be speaking there, Dr. Brent Parker, Dr. Richard Lucas, Pastor Greg Van Court, who is actually my guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Blake White, who you've already heard on this program recently, Renee Frey, Pastor Bill Sasser, who is a very dear friend of mine. Him and his wife, Lynn, are a couple that I count among my very dearest friends on the planet, and they are financial supporters of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, along with the church that Bill pastors, Grace Church at Franklin in Franklin, Tennessee, which is also where the 2024 John Bunyan Conference is being held. And Zach Maxey is going to be my guest this, let's see here, when is Zach going to be on? Zach is on this Wednesday. So I hope that you all make note of when they will be on so you can listen to those interviews. The event will be held April 14th through the 17th, which is going to be here before you know it. And as Pastor Gary already said, the theme is the glorious hope of Christ in the new covenant. And for more details, you can go to ptinct.org. ptinct.org, and click on conferences, and you'll find out all the details that you will need. And we will, God willing, be repeating that information later on in the show. This is a fascinating subject today, near-death experiences. What led you to request not only this as your topic at the upcoming John Bunyan Conference, but also as your topic of discussion today? What is it that really compelled you to begin to study and examine this phenomenon more deeply, and how you came to the conclusions that you've drawn through this study? Go ahead.
Well, being a street evangelist as well as a pastor, I engage lots of different cults on the streets, from Jehovah's Witnesses to Mormons to the Church of Christ to the Church of Scientology, and on and on. And in the mix, which doesn't really fit a category of being a cult, so to speak, with a heretical position of sorts and an anti-biblical view, it's more from just interviews that I've had or comments from people who have claimed to have out-of-body experiences on their deathbeds or cases where they're close to death. And the realities that they put into it became very concerning to me. And it became now a new basis for them, whether a believer or a non-believer, for that matter. It became a new source of truth because the experience in their mind was undeniable. So what they encountered for them became dogma. And as a result, they would propagate this to others. So I encountered one probably back in the 80s. And it concerned me because I knew the individual quite well. He was a fairly solid professing Christian. He happened to be a sergeant on the police force. He was not a fluke, so to speak. And he claimed that he had this experience. And I, of course, I'm kind of a doubting Thomas when it comes to things in general like that. But I heard more and more of these kinds of stories, and it became more and more irritable to me. And I thought, I need to do some work on this. I need to be ready to give an answer and have a defense for the gospel, because I feel like this has developed into another gospel. And I don't think it's been fairly examined. I think most evangelicals like you and I and those that are celebrity speakers and teachers or apologists for that matter, I don't think that enough attention has been given to this. The claims are that there has been between 10 and 20 million Americans that have had near-death experiences, which are out-of-body experiences. And these experiences become for them a dogma, and it becomes now a supplement, if you will, and maybe an additional canonical theme to what happens after you die. So it's now sort of in their minds become a displacement for the scriptures. It's more valid, it's more empirical, and they feel more confident that this is what happens when one dies. And there's a lot to say about it, and I just want to emphasize the fact that it all goes back to what Satan said in the beginning, half God said. So it's really a rivalry, if you will, between person's experiences with God's word. And that's why I am so rabid about this topic, because as one like yourself and all that we connect with are emphatic on the importance of holding forth the word of life and believing that God's word is our final authority for truth, and experiences, as valid as we may think them to be, if they contradict scripture, we must yield to what saith the scriptures and say amen, because all the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him amen. So that's the direction that I want to try to point people to in helping them overcome their subjective experience in making that trump the Bible. It's serious. And I think it's serious enough that to answer your question, why did I get into it? Because I want to be a good apologist.
Well, any Christian, even those Christians out there who believe that some near-death experiences are valid and genuine, every believer must recognize that many of them are counterfeits of the evil one. Because how else could it be true that many people who report these near-death experiences describe them in very wonderful ways, and yet these people giving these reports are not even Christians?
Not only are they not Christians, they're either atheists, or they're anti-Christian, or they're anti-Bible, or they have no foundation whatsoever of truth. But now, because of their experience, it all of a sudden becomes the new reality for them that they can bank on. and not just for themselves, but they propagate it. Some of them that have these experiences want to become now hospice workers so that when they're dealing with dying people, they can assure them everything is going to be all right. And it gives a false peace, and it's a false gospel, and it's very, very dangerous.
And by the way, folks, we do have to clarify that, of course, there are some professing Bible-believing Christians who, and perhaps even genuine regenerate Christians, who have claimed unusual supernatural experiences on their deathbeds. And obviously, one of the reasons we're having this discussion today with Pastor Gary is to determine from his own experience and study whether any of these are authentic. But on top of that, we also have to add into the equation what kind of painkillers and drugs the departing person may be may have in his system or her system that are causing hallucinations and so on. Maybe just the malfunctioning and deterioration of the brain is causing some of these things. And of course, for the unbeliever or the person in a false religion or with a false gospel, these could be very genuine spiritual manifestations, but from Satan. But anyway, if you could give us some of the reasons through perhaps recounting commonly told deathbed stories or near-death stories that would cause you to say, wait a minute, this doesn't match up with the scripture and so on.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said what you did say, and of course I was going to go get into that myself, because we can't dismiss all of this stuff of individuals' experiences that they have. And let me give you a couple simple examples that have been validated. For instance, a woman had a cardiac arrest, and she was in a state that might be classified as clinically dead. And she had at that time period an out of body experience. And in that out of body experience period, she was on like the 7th floor or something, and this hospital was maybe 12th or 14th floors. She claims that she had exited her body, had elevated above and beyond the floors of the hospital to a level above even the rooftop. And she claims when she came back to life and was resuscitated that she reported to the nurse about her out-of-body experience and said that she elevated above the roof level and saw on the roof a red sneaker. Well, the nurse took her somewhat seriously and asked the janitor if he would please go up to the top level of the hospital and get a ladder and go through up to the roof and tell me what you see or find. And this is factual. This is not fictitious. Sure enough, there was a red sneaker on the top of the roof.
Wow.
It's in writing. It's been verified. I believe Gary Habermas, who's done some work on this.
Yes, I've interviewed Gary.
Pardon me?
I've interviewed Gary on the resurrection.
Okay, yeah, right. Well, Gary was one, and of course I would give some credence to things that he would propagate, and he was one of the ones that told me, or said this on YouTube, that he had interviewed the person, and it was factual. So you can't just dismiss this. Another example was a person in the operation room had slipped into a cardiac arrest, went unconscious. All the vital signs seemed to be gone, and the person seemed to be dead. And during this time period, the individual again went out of his body, and when resuscitated, said to the medical staff that what had happened to him and that he saw a quarter on top of a certain machine, equipment machine. And, you know, they kind of snickered at it. But when everyone went out of the room, one of the medical staff stayed behind, got on a stool or chair, and looked up, and sure enough, there was a quarter. This is like 8 feet high that no one would have been able to see unless somebody went above that level. There are numerous examples like that where patients who have gone into these out-of-body experiences have been able to report things that were taking place in the hospital room when they were in a comatose state, or even more advanced, that they were in a clinically dead classification state, which means that there was no heartbeat and there was no brain waves that were operating. Oxygen was off. And during that time period, again, they would come back. For instance, one lady had said to the nurse that while I was on the operating table, you took my dentures out and put them in a certain drawer. And again, it was shocking that she was accurate. And these things are incredulous, you know, to our natural minds. I was so curious about it. Chris, how much time do we have before the break?
In fact, why don't we go to our first break now so I don't have to interrupt you? And just don't forget where you left off there. And if anybody has a question that you would like to ask of Pastor Gary George of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts, as we discuss near-death experiences examined in the light of Scripture, send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. It might even be that you have had a near-death experience and you'd rather not draw attention to your identity. I would understand that and anything else similar to that. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. RoyalDiadem.com, in addition to the monthly financial support that they already automatically provide for this show, they are giving us, on top of that, 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener, simply by that listener saying, "I heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio." That's all you have to do. and that will guarantee that we receive 100% of the profits from your purchase of jewelry, whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having something custom designed, a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, whatever it is, as long as you mention Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, we will get 100% of the profits. So if you're looking for a gift for someone you love, for Easter, for Mother's Day, for if you want to be the first person in the world to ever buy their father a gift on Father's Day, and also, if you're popping the question, you're looking for an engagement ring, if you want to celebrate your wedding anniversary, and we could go on and on and on, whatever the occasion, if you're buying jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com soon to make that purchase, or at least to get the ball rolling, and mention Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And the reason why I'm saying do this soon is we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. So go to royaldiadem.com today to at least get your ball rolling on the purchase and mention Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with Pastor Gary George of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts. He's one of the speakers at the upcoming John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee next month. And today we are addressing near-death experiences. And if you could pick up where you left off, Pastor.
Yeah, we're talking about the credibility of out-of-body experiences and what could be some explanations for the occurrences. Out of curiosity, I inquired from family members. I have in-laws, two of them of which are neurosurgeons. So I thought I would pick their brains and see what they could offer to me as far as how they would explain these out-of-body experiences. And I'll just read, what real short. I won't read the whole thing to your audience, but one of them responds by saying, as far as I have known, even though I have not witnessed anyone or any accounts directly, my personal opinion on this is that when exposed to anoxia or periods of lack of oxygen, that is probably the scenario that is happening in those near-death experiences. A number of neurotransmitters are released in the bloodstream and a number of sensations are replicated in the brain. Even though individuals are considered dead with no electric brain activity and no heartbeats, maybe the brain might be in a sort of profound sleeping state. The other family neurosurgeon says, it's controversial because electric activity is present during sleep as well. So when those patients make it back to life, so to speak, they recall those experiences and interpret them as being those accounts as of being out of their body, seeing a light in a tunnel, embraced by warmth, etc. He says not all those experiences are pleasant, as some describe. And he goes on to say it might even be an epileptic phenomena, seizures that triggered also by the hypoxic environment to which neurons were exposed. And he says, and all of this is only part of the explanation and doesn't necessarily contradict other alternatives. It is just a neuroscience point of view. So that would be more from the chemistry, empirical, scientific perspective, I suppose. So there's a degree of dismissal on his end, but it's somewhat mysterious. Both of them sort of admitted that they don't really have explanations for that. There was a doctor who was so curious about this that he actually was able to talk a hospital administrative board into allowing him to put some special cameras in the operating rooms of the hospital so that if there were any accounts of post-mortem, or I guess we would call it, at the point of a cardiac arrest where a person is in a clinically dead state, and if they claim an out-of-body experience and could describe something in the room they would have cameras with audio that could be replayed to verify what the patient would be giving the account for. Like if they saw something that was going on when they were in this comatose state or during brain death, et cetera, they could verify that. Well, it turned out that he had done this, and he did get permission, set him up in various operation rooms throughout the hospitals, a large hospital, I believe it was in England, and they had interviewed 40 different people over the course of 2 or 3 years that had these conditions of being in a state of death, like I said, without the brain waves and without the heartbeat for a period of time. And not one of the 40 of them claimed to have any out-of-body experience. So out-of-body experiences is a rarity. I said some between 10 and 12, 20 million Americans claim to have had them, but the percentages of those who do have cardiac arrest are in these states do not have out-of-body experiences. So that becomes problematic for those who want to try to stereotype them all as categorically occurring. So why do some have it and some don't have it when they're in the same medical health condition as others do? That's a mystery. That's unexplainable. Why is it that a person, and this has been recorded, one person would have, who has had more than one out-of-body experience from cardiac arrest, they have been interviewed and they have claimed that these out-of-body experiences that they have, one differed from the other one. It was the same person, had two OBEs, and yet reported two different events that took place in this out-of-body state. Again, there's something going on here. You know, we could say it's all demonic, and I'm not going to go that far personally, because I think there's too many credible testimonies, as I gave you a couple examples about the woman who saw the sneaker on top of the roof, or the person that could say that, you know, my dentures were taken out of my mouth and put in a drawer. I mean, there was no medical explanation how they could possibly have known those kinds of things. So it's still up for grabs, so to speak. There's some research being done on it, but again, it's inconclusive because you can't classify it like you can other scientific experiments, if you will.
Now, let me read a listener question, because it really is a perfect segue to what you are saying right now. We have Renee in Coyote, California. And Renee says, what do you do with the recorded last words of some very great heroes of the Christian faith, even heroes of Reformed and Calvinistic Christians like Charles Spurgeon? It is reported that Spurgeon on his deathbed said, I can hear them coming. He sat straight up in his bed and asked, don't you hear them? This is my coronation day. I can see the chariots. I'm ready to board. Can we write this off as something just being said from a failing brain?
Excellent. Great question. Great point. I do not in any way discount that. I do believe that there are experiences that believers have at the point of departure. As we read in James 2:26, as the body without the spirit is dead. The classification is the body's dead, but the spirit doesn't die. We know that the spirit survives. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not Seventh-day Adventists. We don't believe in soul sleep. We believe in the activity of consciousness when death occurs. And so, sure, I mean, when we read in Luke 16 about the rich man in Lazarus, you know, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So there was obviously some sort of divine escorting and experiences that someone like a Spurgeon and others that we could go down the list and say they have. And I know of individual people myself that have told me of their family members or loved ones who knew the Lord, how they experienced some sort of almost like a divine presence that gave them a consolation and almost like an invitational experience of exiting this world and going to be with the Lord. So I'm not, I want to be sure that your listening audience doesn't think that I am poo-pooing all OBEs or all extraordinary or unusual or somewhat miraculous like experiences that individuals could be having in their state of departure from their body. But I would say the majority of the ones that I've listened to, and I've listened to oodles of them on YouTube, and you can find tons of them, and the testimonies that they give. For instance, this young man died, and he claimed that he went to heaven, and he said that he saw John the Baptist. And we were doing a Bible study at that time, and we were talking about the subject, and one of the sisters wisely said, "Did the boy see John the Baptist with a head or without a head?" I think that kind of highlights some of the fallacies that people are claiming, at least biblical fallacies.
By the way, what was the answer to that? Because obviously in the afterlife, John the Baptist would have a new head.
Well, that brings up the other topic is what is the spirit or soul clothed with in the disembodied state
while they're waiting
for the resurrection of the body? That's a very curious topic to me as well. I've kind of assumed from the book of Revelation, where you have them clothed in white robes, that there's some sort of a temporal clothing or embodiment of some sort that's temporary, in awaiting the time when Christ will, with their spirits, return to earth and the body be reunited with the spirit, and then the person be in their full personhood at that point. So that's another problem when people are claiming that they're seeing people in this out-of-body state, and the people that they're seeing that are embodied people with a likeness of the body that they had on earth. The book that Don Piper wrote on 90 Minutes in Heaven, for instance, he claims that when he went in out of his body, he went right to heaven. He was greeted by his grandfather and all of his family members that had died before him, and also high school students that had died. So you know, I think as serious biblical Christians, we'd have to say, now, wait a minute. God had a greeting committee of family members and high school students who were going to meet him at his coming into heaven. I mean, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I'd have to say that I think I'd have to be in a simplistic state of mind to believe that testimony that he just met only his family members and high school students. He also reported that everybody was at the age of 33. And if he met his grandfather, I wonder if he knew what his grandfather looked at 33. I know I don't look anymore now. I'm in my 70s. I might not be recognizable to somebody who would see me when I was 33 years of age, for instance. So there are these kinds of difficulties that arise when you start to challenge these testimonies as far as the reality of them. And plus, every testimony differs from another. There are no two that are identically alike. And most of them have a cultural parallel, if you will. When they die, for instance, an American person who's basically brought up in Judeo-Christianity will meet God. A person from the Far East who grows up in Buddhism ends up meeting Buddha. So there's no like stock reality behind these stories. Why would it be like that if there's one heaven? And again, my basis for what I believe is what I believe the Bible is about. It's the truth. So I can't accept the testimony of man over the testimony of the scriptures. So right. when the testimonies of people are so odd and peculiar and anti-biblical, I have to say, I have to dismiss that.
Yes. And one of the most fascinating near-death experiences I've ever heard, which was repeated on a number of occasions on the Get Smart television series, is when is when Maxwell Smart would be kneeling at the side of someone who is just about to die, and he'd say to that person, "Do you have any last words?" And the person would whisper something in his ear, and someone would say, "Well, what did he say, Max?" "Stop kneeling on my chest."
But, what a memory you have.
I love that show. What do you make, by the way? You were talking about a sign that people who are having these near-death experiences or having visions of some kind on their deathbed who see physically visions of previously deceased people because they haven't been reunited with their bodies because the judgment day, the final judgment, has not yet come when that occurs. How do you rectify that or align that with the highly debated, mysterious account we have in the Old Testament when Saul goes to the Witch of Tarsus. I'm sorry, the Witch of Endor. The Witch of Tarsus.
Right, right.
The Witch of Endor. And she apparently raises Samuel from the dead, and there is no indication in the context of that account that this was a deceiving spirit or a false manifestation. And you know, they saw Samuel. So how do you rectify that?
Yeah, it wasn't a counterfeit, that's for sure, because Samuel had said to Saul that both you and your sons will be with me. And he was referring to the state that he was in. Some people take that to assume that's a proof text that Saul was saved because he and his sons, and his son would have included Jonathan, that since Jonathan would be with Samuel rightfully as a righteous man, Saul too, who's included in that company of those who would go to be with Samuel, must have been saved as well. I think, though, and I've looked at that passage and thought about it many times, I think Samuel is simply saying that you're going to be in the state of death that I am with. You're all going to die. I don't think that, and of course, most people who died that are recorded in the Old Testament, the words that are used, they were gathered unto their fathers. And so I think it's a generic term to describe going to the place of the dead. The dead could be inclusive of the Sheol side, of the spiritual side of the dead.
Now, could you pick up on Saul and the Witch of Endor and Samuel after we come back from the midway break?
Sure.
If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please try to respond to as many of our advertisers as you can, keeping in mind that they are keeping this program on the air with their generous financial support. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm asking you to return the favor by going to solid-ground-books.com today and making a purchase of books. If you've never purchased from them before, please make your very first purchase today. And even if you purchase regularly, maybe even every month, please contact them today and make your largest purchase ever, as long as you can afford to do so. And remember, folks, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of the past, and also they bring into print for the first time books by modern authors like Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Nothing but the very finest in Christian literature is ever seen on the website of solid-ground-books.com. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today. Visit that site frequently. Purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my friend, Pastor Gary George of Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southbridge, Massachusetts, in our discussion on near-death experiences, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address from your post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church whether it's your parachurch ministry, whether it's your business, perhaps a professional private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound church like Sovereign Grace Chapel of Southbridge, Massachusetts, well, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches, and I have helped many people in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth find churches near them, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you are without a biblically sound church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pastor Gary George on near-death experiences. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And we were talking about the account in the Old Testament where Saul gets the Witch of Endor to perform a seance, as it were, and rose Samuel from the dead. And you were in the midst of talking about that, if you could pick up.
Yeah, that's a kind of a controversial portion in the Old Testament. I don't know if this would be of an interest to your audience or even to our subject necessarily, but I think it is interesting, nevertheless, as to this statement of Samuel's to Saul through the witch, who said, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." And because, so we do know that at the point of death, people depart their bodies. And we know from the New Testament that we have a clarification as to the outcome once the body, once the spirit is separated from the soul, that one would go instantly either to heaven or to hell. But one has to be careful to not be reading the New Testament into the Old Testament. And as I said a few minutes back, that there are many examples of people who die, and the statement is said of them, they were gathered unto their people, or they were gathered unto their fathers. And I think that what Samuel is saying about Saul, "Tomorrow you and your sons are going to be with me," is in that same vein. But some, again, I think of wrongly, and I'll give you an example. Charles Wesley, because of that expression, "You're going to be with me," he writes this following little thing here. Listen up. It says, "The bodies cannot be the fulfillment, because the day after their death," "what do these solemn words portend? A ray of hope when life shall end? Thou and thy sons, though slain, shall be tomorrow in repose with me." Not in a state of hellish pain, if Saul with Samuel do remain, not in a state of damned despair, if loving Jonathan be there. So obviously Charles Wesley is interpreting that Samuel is stating that Saul's state after death is going to be with him, which he describes as being in a place when he says to the witch, "Why have you disturbed me? Why have you disquieted me?" The King James said. So he was obviously in a state of consolation and peace. So the assumption is, by Wesley and others, that might take that passage to mean that Saul himself went to be where Samuel was, in a place of peace and comfort. You could say the good side of Abraham's bosom in Sheol. So that, in my opinion, is how that's to be understood. I do think it was a real appearance of real Saul to the witch. She recognizes him. So again, he has a bodily appearance.
And now, would that be a unique experience, since the dead have not received their bodies yet?
Yeah, I mean, again, we know that the body is not going to be the body that shall be. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It will be raised a spiritual body. et cetera. In 1 Corinthians 15:42 to 44, you get those expressions. So the bodies that persons after death and before their resurrection bodies could be in some form of a body that would not be the natural body that they occupied in their earthly journey. For instance, what if Moses appeared on the mount with Jesus and the apostles were there? But remember, God buried Saul's body, and Michael the archangel, fought over the soma, the body of Moses. So Moses may have been an exception to being clothed with a body that was his body here on earth. That, again, is another mystery, and I can't be dogmatic about that. But you're going to say something, I think.
I was just going to throw out there another thing to complicate the issue. As the rich man in hell, in the story that Christ told of the rich man and Lazarus, he has a tongue in the story, and he's asking for water, a drop of water to be placed on his tongue. That's another thing that makes the issue confusing.
Correct. And I think the soul has body sensations, even though they may be bodiless. And I think if you've talked to somebody that's had their leg amputated, they might on occasions reach down to scratch their foot when there's no foot there. It's just part of their body mechanism, the way it operates. These are interesting things, just like this whole topic. I mean, we're told in the scriptures that necromancing is an evil, that mediums and sorcerers and all these kinds of things. I'll give you I've gone to see Amazing Kreskin. When I was a college student, they invited him as a guest, and I could just go on and tell you some amazing things that even the psychologists, the psychology professors and all that, they were lined up in the front row trying to figure out how he does what he does. And he took two rings, for instance. They were both on my football team, and he said, can I have two rings provided? And they were class rings. You know how thick a college class ring would be, had their initials in it. Kreskin took them in his hands. He shuffled them in his hands. He turned his hands over, his palms over, and the two rings were interlocked, and they were passed through the audience so people could handle them. And he said, do you see any initials on the inside of these rings? And sure enough, I mean, I could go on and tell you about things that just blows my mind.
I can say, though, years ago, when Kreskin was a guest on David Letterman, and Kreskin did not have control over the act of doing something that he claimed as supernatural, he failed on every occasion. When it was the staff members of David Letterman's show that had ultimate control over everything, he couldn't do what he was claiming that he was trying to do.
Yeah, and that happened before, too, in instances like when I was at this particular one. The school, and this is back in the 70s, the school had written a $2,000 check out to him, and it was an envelope, and he told the school, remove me from the building and give me 2 minutes when I come back. If I can't find it, it's a gift to the school. Well, the whole audience were trying to come up with the weirdest, most unlikely place that he could possibly think of. Well, he came back and, he played the game and let the clock run down. And then he pointed, he said, it's up there. And it was above on a curtain, like 14 feet high. But he has failed on other occasions when he had to do the same thing. So he was not 100% accurate, like you were just saying. So, I mean, look at the magicians who imitated what Moses was doing. Up to the point when Moses could strike the dust and it would create the gnats, the magician said, this is none other than the finger of God. In other words, it was unimitable. They could not duplicate. They could not fabricate any miracle that could possibly match that. That was giving life. That was out of their league. But the devil and demons have amazing amounts of power.
Right.
The spiritual world is such a profound reality and we're forbidden to engage it.
Right. And then the bottom line is, no matter how real a personal experience may be, no matter how authentic a supernatural experience may be, it's the Word of God that trumps all of that. Am I correct? Because even at least one of these child authors who apparently the child had a temporary death and was revived and went to heaven, there were at least two of these stories that were put into print.
Yeah.
One of them was revealed to be an absolute fraud by the child himself when he got older.
Correct.
But there was one that was not revealed as such. But you had things happening that defied what the Bible teaches about the afterlife and about heaven. And the thing that was strange is that even the Roman Catholic Church, I can't remember if the Pope at the time, it may have been Francis, I can't remember if he put his seal of approval on the story, but definitely there were Catholic priests who were promoting the book. And it even defied Catholic teaching. You know, so it didn't make any sense. But anyway, we have to always, no matter how real something is, we have to keep going back to the Word of God. Or should I say, no matter how real something seems, we have to go back to the Word of God.
Well, it used to be said that the middle verse of the Bible, this is what it was taught me, and this is using the King James, of course, Psalm 118, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men." And it sounds really great, because if that is the middle, or is the middle verse of the Bible, that the emphasis is it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. And I, in essence, that's what my motivation is. I don't want to see the Word of God displaced by a new breed of gospel preachers and teachers trying to soothe the consciences of unconverted people that everything is going to be all right. There was a woman who had one of these out-of-body experiences, and of course it was delightful. She comes back and she says this: "I'd like to take the pulpit and tell people what is really on the other side, and that the guilt preached by Christian churches is completely inappropriate." That's the kind of thing that I think we need to be aware of. Even though there may be credibility to some of these testimonies, it does not at all displace or debunk the Bible. So the problem is that people who have these experiences, it gives them a false sense of fearlessness of death in the afterlife. Hell is almost obliterated by the common testimonies of OBEers. And if they become, in the minds of other people, sort of the voice of divine truth, now all of a sudden the Bible is outdated, archaic, and useless when it comes to defining or describing life after death. Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill a soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." He also says in Luke 12:5, he says, "Fear him who after he hath killed has authority to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So these out-of-body experiences can remove the necessity of what is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom, and that is the fear of God. And if the fear of God is not realized, we're dealing with a holy God, a God who hates sin, a God that can only pardon on the basis of the righteousness of his Son and the blood that he shed on Calvary for the remission of people's sins. Jesus says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot go. So people like Betty Eady, who was a Mormon, claim that she went to heaven, and she has all kinds of Mormon ideas because, again, that's what her religious background was. And so naturally, she's going to describe her experience in Mormonish type terminologies. So she rejects the Trinity and so on and so forth. And she now become sort of a spokesperson for the afterlife and have this extraordinary insight. She quotes saying, at the time of death, we are given the choice to remain on this earth until our bodies are buried or to move on. She happened to be a hypnotherapist herself. Carl Jung, who was a Swiss psychiatrist, claimed to have had an out-of-body experience as well. But he happened to be a medium, a professional medium as well, and a fortune teller. And I'm not trying to say that all OBEs are to be labeled with a Betty Eady kind of a person behind it, or a Carl Jung, atheistic person, and so on. But it's just something to be aware of. And I'm glad what you said, and that's where I'm coming from, is we can't let the experiences of people trump the authority of the Bible. I believe I heard R.C. Sproul say once, listening to one of his radio broadcasts, a person with an argument is at the mercy of a person with an experience, meaning that the person who has the experience,
right,
can say, hey, I had this experience, you can't tell me differently. Well, if the Bible contradicts your experience, what is the truth? Your experience or what saith the scriptures?
Yes. In fact, I know somebody who is a very, very close friend of mine. I'm not going to identify this person, who insists, it's been a while since this person made this claim or repeated this claim, but I remember frequently over the years after I became a Christian that this person, who was not demonstrating a life of repentance, was living in open rebellion against God, was claiming he was a Christian because he had an experience. He claims that while in a state of deep depression and anguish, the Lord Jesus appeared to him, picked him up off the ground, and rocked him in his arms like a baby. And he swore that this was true, and that was what gave this person the peace of heart and mind to continue living as he was without repentance. Because he knew that he was in Jesus' arms and that nothing was going to take that experience away from him. And I know that person also at one time was a drug user, so I have no idea if that was a part of the reason that this manifestation happened. But nonetheless, obviously this was giving this person false security.
And unfortunately, you know, the vast majority, way over 90% of the reported OBEs are always in delightful terms, peaceful, warm, end of the tunnel, lights, meadows, gardens, flowers, music, sweet music. Everything is kind of la-di-da-di-dee. And wow, death is not so bad. Death, where is your sting, if you will, use that wrong word.
La-di-da-di-dee, you mean Sonny and Cher appear in these visions? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The scripture says, man dieth and wasteth away, yea, a man giveth up the spirit, and where is he? Job 14, verse 10. It's an important question that people solve that. And the only way it can be certified is if we put our trust in Christ, like the thief on the cross who can have words said to him like could be said to us and understood by us, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so that's the glorious thing about dying. As Paul says, to be with Christ is far better, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. To die is gain. But how are these things achieved? It's through the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, Paul says in Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So, you know, in all of these cases that I have mentioned, we have, you know, been talking about, these, none of them are permanent states of death. That's important for your listening audience to keep in mind. None of them are permanent. They come back. They're resuscitated. And some of these, they only estimate, the person on their own estimates how long they were dead. They may not have even been dead. They may have been in a sleep state of some sort that could have been either wrongly diagnosed by them as being dead, or there's things that are in the crevices of our internal being that we don't realize are not really dead when they might be classified clinically dead. Now, I know we don't believe in burying people alive anymore, so we're sure when they go to the embalmer and that they have a coroner come to their body, that there's certain tests. And I've talked to one of our nurses in our church who works in a trauma unit about people who die, you know, in the hospital. How do they finalize their being in a state of death? And I wouldn't even want to try to describe it to you, but it's one that absolutely guarantees that this person is lifeless, will never exist in this body, in this world, at this time, this way. This person is, as we would say, naturally speaking, the person is gone. You know, they used to bury people in the past when they assumed that they were dead, but they used to have they were buried with bells inside their coffin.
Right.
And that's why they had people who worked the third shift, the grave shift, it was called. And the reason why they worked it, in case a bell went off, which meant they would bet someone was alive in a casket that was under the ground, and his job was to dig up that body to resuscitate him, or to get him, not resuscitate, but to get him out of that box. You know, he was alive. So thankfully we're more advanced these days, and we're thankful for, you know, medical technology, but sometimes it can confuse us. I had to do a term paper when I believe I was in college. I took a course called medical ethics, and it was taught by a professor who was a board member of a major college in the city that I grew up in, Worcester, Massachusetts. He was a teacher, and he had been a Jesuit as well. And he was sharing with us, you know, some of the difficulties when it comes to ethics in regards to how certain things have to be done. And we're in, you know, days where it's even more complicated with cloning and, you know, babies being born and test tubes, and, you know, on and on the list goes. And there's a new one coming out where a male can have a baby created from his own cells. There's research being done on that, so that doesn't have, I mean, it gets freakish. It's got to be the last days, brother.
Well, I guess you're not a postmillennialist.
I turned my hand over there on you. So yeah, no, I'm not. Because of that reason. Go ahead.
We have a question from Schaefer in Cottontown, Pennsylvania, another city that I am learning about for the first time, being a fairly new resident of Pennsylvania. Schaefer says, the vast majority of near-death experiences I have ever heard are from those that claim beautiful, gorgeous, glorious, and wonderful things that they have experienced after coming to a near-death point. But there have been a couple that I have heard of people who had terrifying experiences that gave them the impression that they were going to hell if they did not repent, and that when they were revived, that radically changed their lives. They did repent, believe upon Christ, and follow him. Could we say that these near-death experiences that were terrifying and perhaps had a vision of hell or something were necessarily fake experiences?
No, you know, again, I like I said, I don't want to cast out the baby with the bathwater. There is some credulity to these testimonies. And yes, there is a minority of cases of hellish experiences. For instance, the person who wrote the book, I think his name was Bill Weiss, called 23 Minutes in Hell. And this is kind of crazy, but he claims that he saw 15-foot-tall reptile demons. He saw rats the size of dogs and snakes the size of trains. Talking about having a hellish experience, that would be a good way of describing being in a place of suffering to a degree. So, you know, God can use some of these things. And I have actually used these to try to show to like cults that don't believe in post-death consciousness, post-mortem consciousness, that these are genuine experiences. When I told you about the sneaker on top of the roof and the quarter on top of the machine equipment and the operating room, these are factual in proof that the soul can live, the spirit can live outside of the body, have consciousness and awareness. So whether or not the soul goes to a place of bliss or a place of torment, that is sort of an open question. But I can say that those who claim to go to heaven, their experience is very, I mean, there's only one heaven. The book of Revelation describes for us in visionary literature that what heaven is like. There's not two different kinds of heaven. There's not a back room to heaven. There's not a second floor to heaven, or there's one heaven, and it's described in one way with those who are there. Should be by all people who go there come back saying, this is what heaven is like. If that was the case, I would be sold 100% on these OBEs. But when they come back with various views, various ideas, theological confusions, people that want to now become sort of like spokespersons for death in the afterlife and give false hope to people who are living a licentious and sin-filled life, that they can now have hope that, oh, don't worry about death. It's all good. You're going to go to heaven no matter what you do, how you live, and what you believe. That there is damnable. And I think in some ways, Kristen, that's why I'm glad you've had me on the program, because I feel that this is more serious than what the cults are teaching. As vile as their teachings are, and as many as they can be leading to hell, what becomes doctrines of OBEs. And there's actually a society of NDE people around the country that meet in conferences in different places. I actually wanted to attend one that was in the Boston area one time. It just didn't happen to fit my schedule, but I just wanted to go to hear and to see, you know, what transpires at them. And I'm sure you can find them on YouTube. If you look, they're pretty easy to find. It's just making the Bible become a museum piece and really have no validity for people to believe anymore.
Yeah, it's also interesting that the vast majority of these charlatans that claim to be prophets, when you see them on television or maybe you're actually attending a service at a Pentecostal or charismatic church that believes in extra biblical new revelation and prophecy and prophets as people and as an office in the church, when they are giving their prophecies to individuals who come up the aisle, it's always good news, or at least the vast majority. I've never even once heard a so-called prophet who's laying their hands on somebody and prophesying say, oh no, there's something dark ahead of you. There's a dangerous thing that's about to occur. Oh, you know, nothing like that. It's always wonderful news waiting for them.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, there's all these positive spins that they put on it. I wanted to attend one of these NDE conferences, just like when Benny Hinn came to Worcester. You know, we have a 16,000 person stadium, indoor theater place. So I went there because I wanted to see for myself. I also went right. with 5,000 tracks that we put together. Do you have to go on a break, Chris?
Yeah, in fact, pick up where you left off on the Benny Hinn. And,
all right.
All right, we're going to be right back. Don't go away.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back. And folks, please keep in mind that Iron Sharpens Iron radio is paid for in part by my very dear longtime friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. So, if you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and mention that you heard about his law firm on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, please don't forget that I am going to be the MC of the upcoming fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island on Friday, March 15th, which is Friday of next week, at 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island. The keynote speaker will be renowned author and educator Dr. Ernie Zara. And if you'd like to register for this important event, I would love to see you there. Go to gcali.com. GCALI.com and register there. Also, don't forget, if you're a man in ministry leadership, the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon is going to be held on Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. My featured speaker for the very first time at this event is Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Everything is free of charge, and you will also receive, if you are in attendance, a very heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, absolutely free. So if you want to register for that free event, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We're now back with Pastor Gary George. We are talking about near-death experiences, and you were talking about a Benny Hinn event.
Well, we wouldn't have enough time for me to go into the details. I guess I can tell you this, at least. When I showed up there, I had 5,000 tracks that were made up with a picture with Benny Hinn on the front cover with his hands spread out in a white suit that said, Benny Hinn the Prophet. And then when you opened up the track, it said, all the false prophecies of Benny Hinn. And we were carrying sandwich boards that said, don't give a penny to Benny, was one of them. And the other one was, Benny, stop hindering the truth. But I also managed to get inside. It was free anyway. But I wanted to see for myself things that were going on. And again, it's just a curiosity that I have partly, but also because I don't want to see God's people misled. Matter of fact, people were surrounding me, trying to cast out demons out of me and, you know, challenging that I was a Christian, how I could be speaking against Benny Hinn and so on. And I don't want to be a negativist. At the same time, I don't want to be a gullibleist either. So when it comes to this topic, and I know we got to close in a minute or two, I basically just want to say there are lots of books that have come out. I've noted over 50 of them, at least, that have been out there. And many of them are on the top shelves, bestsellers, New York Times bestsellers. And they have become, for many Christians, the best resources now for understanding the state of man after dying. And it's the new and the best way to know the unknown, they think. And these books are not merely appendices to the Bible, but they are becoming now like supplemental canonical books of the Bible. And they're giving people the highest rating for knowing what happens as soon as you die. And this becomes very, very problematic for people who believe the word of God, and you've got to compete with people who have experiences. And I don't necessarily try to squash people who are claiming that they have these, but I try to tell them, look, it don't make your experience become the Bible to you. Let the Bible interpret your experience rather than your experience interpret the Bible. So it can be a dangerous zone that we need to be aware of, and we need to know how to handle the topic so that we don't get consumed by it. And yet at the same time, there's a side of it that is positive. There is life after death. People do leave their bodies. And praise God, we can, as believers in Christ, have that blessed assurance that to meet death for us is life with Christ, and that death is not the end. It's only the beginning of the new life where we have had our treasures laid up, that moth and rust can't corrupt and thieves can't break through nor steal. So we want to give God the glory, and we believe that Jesus is, as the scripture says, in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3.
I have time for one more very quick question. Alicia in Merrick, Long Island, New York. Does Matthew 16, verse 4 apply to this? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign.
Yes, that's a good point. That's unfortunate. People are hungry, but if they're not hungry for the word and they're hungry just to fulfill their appetites that might not be searching in the right places, they could be filled with something that could mislead them, like these ideas that OBEs have in trying to promote the afterlife as being all glorious, all joy, all heaven, all life, all everything that's good. It is a very dangerous thing to be promoting. So, yes, thank you for bringing that verse off. Bring out, we are living in days where people are searching, but they're looking for it in wrong places.
Let me give everybody your websites for Sovereign Grace Chapel in Southridge, Massachusetts. It's sovereigngracema.org, sovereigngracema.org. For the John Bunyan Conference coming up April 14th through the 17th, where my guest is one of the speakers, go to PTINCT.org, PTINCT.org, and don't forget about the website to register for the Grace Christian Academy fundraising gala on Friday, March 15th, when I will be the MC. Go to gcali.com/gala, G-A-L-A. That's gcali.com/gala, G-A-L-A. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Gary, for being a superb guest, as you always are. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.